Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. I hope this finds you in good health and good circumstances. Following the news, it's hard not to really take this Mapo idea seriously. It's getting very dangerous. Not that it isn't any other day, but there's a lot of crazy people following magical, mystical thoughts that are driving them mad. And it's a scary condition. So all the more reason to keep our practice strong so we can influence this in any way possible through our connection with everything. Right? Let's keep our spirits up. On that note, maybe a little bit of a downer, maybe a teaching moment, something I want to share with you. And I debated whether or not I should, but since I have brought up my little Buddha dog several times over the years in these videos, you all, if you're new here, you probably don't know, but Chloe, my little feist, has been with us for some 15 years or so, and we got her when she was about a year and a half. Anyway, she passed this morning, and we had the opportunity of, I was holding her in my arms as she was struggling this morning, and she passed, so both Sandra and I were with her, and it didn't take a whole long time, but she's been a part. She's been here a lot. She loves to come out here to the school, to the Kwun. She loves to listen to the chanting. For the last week, I think she's known that she has been in the process. And when I go back to the house, she's not so keen to go back to the house with me. She likes to stay here with the butsudan, with her little bed that's here. Anyway, for those of you who've never seen her, I don't know if I've ever shown her before, just a brief picture, just a very compassionate, wonderful, very quiet dog, never barks, just very, very loving, compassionate animal. And so, of course, we will miss her. And I don't want to belabor the point, but she will continue in our karma, or in the more common parlance, our hearts and minds, right? And she will fade because her influence is no longer happening. She, Chloe, is extinct. But the effect that she's had on my life, certainly, and to whatever tiny degree yours, as she's had breathing problems, you've heard her snort in the background, and I've mentioned her. Just some funny memories and memories that are part of our karmic engine, yeah? And, of course, those will fade because they're no longer being replenished. But in the meantime, I just thought I'd honor her life, her influence, and her love. And so now we'll go forward. And she's here before I inter her, giving her one last vicinity, just for my own peace of mind, I suppose. I mean, she's gone, so. But she is here participating in this video, in whatever way or form. Her physical form is here anyway. And I admit, it's a bit of a selfishness. But that'll be the end of my clinging and craving to have her around. And we will inter her. I will inter her after we're done with this video. So just wanted to give you guys an opportunity, if you're familiar with her, if you remember her at all, just to, say a sort of a goodbye, or just acknowledge that if you don't hear from me talking about her in the future, it's not because she's no longer relevant, right? Chapter 8, the 500 disciples received their prediction. Kind of auspicious, maybe. Okay, we are going through the Lotus Sutra, the BDK translation. And I haven't said their full name in a long time, so that you might find that. This is part of the BDK English Tripitaka series. This organization has set as its mandate to translate into Western language, English particularly, all of the Tripitaka canon of Buddhist teachings. So there's some value to that. As you know, I'm fond of reading different translations just to see, you know, there's cultural biases in all of these. And hell, the English language has cultural biases in it. So, but it's fascinating to me that no matter how radical the biases might be, the central message comes through rather clearly. It's an amazing aspect of skillful means, right? So this is the Bukkyo Dendo Kyokai and the Numata Center for Buddhist Translation and Research. So there you have it. This is a second printing from 2015 and published by the Numata Center for Buddhist Translation and Research, Berkeley, California. So there you have it. Not unlike myself, I'm sure everyone, BDK, what the heck does that mean? Who's that, right? Well, there you have it. All right, let's get right into it. At that time, Purna, the son of Maitrayani, after hearing the Buddha teach the Dharma according to what is appropriate to sentient beings through the wisdom of skillful means, and bestow the prediction of highest complete enlightenment on all the great disciples, and then hearing stories about past causes and conditions, and that all the Buddhas have obtained perfect mastery of transcendent powers, obtained an unprecedented experience and became pure in mind and joyful, he immediately rose from his seat, went into the presence of the Buddha, bowed until his forehead touched the Buddha's feet, and then stood to one side, gazing unwaveringly at the Buddha, and thought this. And don't you think it's interesting that so often in the dialogue or the of this story of the Lotus Sutra, that what's identified from these personages isn't what they say, although that's in here too, but often is preceded by what their thoughts are, and their thoughts are heard. Once again, a reminder, Buddhism is about the mind and the way the mind perceives, constructs, alters, influences, participates in the moment-to-moment-to-moment-to-moment instantiation of life. It's not said that way, but it's obvious in the rhetoric, even in translation, yeah? So here's what Purna thinks. The Bhagavat is truly marvelous. His actions are rare. He teaches the Dharma according to the natural capacities of the beings in the world through skillful means. His wisdom and insight. He leads sentient beings away from their various attachments, their cravings and clingings, their samsaric activity. We have no words to describe the Buddha's qualities. Only the Buddha, the Bhagavat, is able to know our deep intentions and original vow. So what does that mean, that last sentence? Our deep intentions and original vow. What is that about? What that's talking about is that our deep intentions are the eighth consciousness, right? The karmic engine that we samsaric beings are oblivious to. It's happening, it's the engine of life, but we're so enamored, so engaged with the physicality, database creation, identification, that what is driving our impressions of that, our influences of that, the way we see things, the way we see with our mind things, the way we attach, the way we are averse to, the epistemology of our thinking, we're just unaware. And so when we see that the Buddha, not the person, the mind, teaches to the capacity of sentient minds, he's not just teaching to their samsaric opinions and ideas. He sees our deep intentions. In other words, what is driving those particular predilections and prejudices and blind spots, and what is driving the greed, right? The anger, the foolishness. What is, from whence does that manifest in each individual mind? Buddha, the clarity of mind, sees that unfailingly. Oh, well, it's obvious. That's hard to imagine because that's not where we are. We're in samsara. Although, through our practice, we engage and train our mind to be more and more aware, and that filters into our influences, our day-to-day activities, subtly, profoundly, and still, because we're samsaric beings, we don't perceive the moment-to-moment influences and changes. What we do perceive is the result, right? This is why you hear me say often, what we chant, what we try to establish in our day-to-day life is the best possible result. Because knowing how it comes about is implicitly outside our samsaric experience to know. We recognize it, though, sometimes painfully slowly, but we do. Yeah. So the original vow part of that sentence is that this is what we were meant to experience all along. That Buddha-ness doesn't create anything anew. It just sees with absolute clarity. Right? That's what we call aha moments. That's why it's renge, that insight that goes, oh, right? It's like suddenly feeling like you're all soaked in water and you don't have any idea why. And then suddenly you realize, oh, I'm outside in a rainstorm. But you didn't know that before? Of course you did. But you were blinded to it. You were asleep. That's why it's called awakening. It's a bad example, but do you understand what I'm saying? So that one little sentence there, only the Buddha mind, the Bhagavat, the fully enlightened one, is able to know our deep intentions and original vow. That's your mind awakened. Do you see? It makes total sense if you understand the skillful means. Then the Buddha addressed the monks saying, quote, do you see Purna, the son of Maitrayani? I always praise him as the foremost among the teachers of the Dharma. I also always praise his various qualities. He diligently maintains and propagates my teaching and is able to gladden and benefit the fourfold assembly. High praise, right? He interprets the true Dharma of the Buddha perfectly and greatly benefits those who practice the pure path of discipline and integrity. together with him. With the exception of the Tathagata, no one else explains the doctrine more eloquently. Wow. Why haven't I heard of Purna before? It's pretty amazing. If I'm going to take Buddha's word for it, right? You must not think that Purna is only now able to protect and propagate my teaching. He also protected and propagated the true Dharma of the Buddhas in the presence of the 90 Kodas of Buddhas in the past, when he was always the foremost among the teachers of the Dharma. You see, this again extends to my discussion of personages. Okay, here's Purna, this excellent scholar, this excellent student, this excellent teacher of the teachings of the Dharma. But this function, this original vow, this state of Buddha-ness, this Dharma, this experience of Buddha-ness, it's not new, right? You must not think that just now, because I'm saying it to you, aha, here it is. No, it's been here all along. Now, Purna is a stand-in, a straw man, you might say, a stand-in, a personage, to illustrate this facility. Again, skillful means. That's how skillful means work. Moreover, he was completely versed in the teachings of emptiness that the Buddhas taught and attained the fourfold unobstructed wisdom. He has always been able to teach the Dharma clearly and purely. He never had any doubts and was endowed with the transcendent power of the Bodhisattvas. This facility has always existed in some form in your minds. Purna is that facility in your own mind. Throughout each life, he has always practiced the pure path of discipline and integrity. The people who lived in the same Buddha world all thought he really was a Shravaka. Yet Purna benefited immeasurable hundreds of thousands of sentient beings through this skillful means, and also led and inspired immeasurable, incalculable numbers of beings and caused them to attain highest, complete enlightenment. Purna is no less than our motivation to meet the Buddha. That motivation is our greatest teacher. In order to purify the Buddha land, he always did what the Buddhas have done and led and inspired sentient beings. O monks, Purna also was able to become the foremost among the teachers of the Dharma under the past 7 Buddhas, and he is also the foremost of those who preach the Dharma under me. He will also be the foremost among the teachers of the Dharma under the future Buddhas in this auspicious kalpa. He's talking about our own resolve. He's given resolve to meet Buddha, what Nichiren calls single-mindedness, a personage, a name. Because samsarically, our brains like labels. That's who Purna is. The Purna in all of us, yeah? He will protect and propagate the Buddha Dharma, and also in the future he will protect and propagate the Dharma of incalculable, limitless Buddhas. Because that urge, that resolve, that dedication, that confidence is a requisite part of Buddha Dharma, Buddha experience. He will lead, inspire, and benefit incalculable sentient beings and cause them to attain highest complete enlightenment. In order to purify the Buddha lands, he will always be diligent and persevering, leading and inspiring sentient beings. He will gradually perfect the Bodhisattva path, and after immeasurable, incalculable kalpas, He will attain highest complete enlightenment in this land. He will be called Dharmaprabhasa, a Tathagata, completely enlightened, perfect in knowledge and conduct, well departed, knower of the world, unsurpassed, tamer of humans, teacher of devas and humans, Buddha, Bhagavat. So you understand, again, this is our mental mechanism of dedication to enlighten, to activate, to awaken an already existent state, albeit obfuscated by our samsaric mind. Let it come to the fore, Buddha-ness. And this is how it has worked, and this is how it will continue to work. Right? Because it's not about me, Shakyamuni. It's about Buddha-ness, which is simply in need of awakening. Our samsaric mind to let it move in and drive our momentum. That Buddha's land will consist of all the worlds in the great manifold cosmos, the universe, equal in number to the sands of the Ganges River. Boy, that river's popular, isn't it? The earth will be made of the seven treasures, and it will be level, just like the palm of one's hand. There will be no mountains, valleys, or hollow places. This land will be filled with towers of seven treasures. There's that seven number again. We're going to read that several times. I've talked about it throughout the Go Show, the treasure tower, right? The Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, seven, not six. The heavenly places, or palaces, will be in the sky close at hand, and the humans and devas will come and go between them so that they will be able to see each other. There will be no troubled states of being, nor any women. So again, there's a bias here. But not altogether surprising to see it in the forward portions of the Lotus Sutra, because it's not until later that we learn about the dragon daughters, the dragon king's daughter, right? Because even to this day, the day of the Lotus Sutra, this preaching, women were thought to be incapable of reaching Buddhahood. Simply wasn't allowed to them. Don't worry, Shakyamuni blows that myth all to hell. But remember who he's talking to. All the sentient beings will be born here spontaneously without any sexual desires. That's a big statement, only because sex is a hugely taboo even to this day in Mapo, for as a samsaric obstacle to overcome by the mind. Not to overcome biologically, right? Without sex, the whole sentient mind thing goes extinct. We don't want that. But our attachment, our clinging, our desire for it, which is necessary for our breeding, is a huge obstacle to thinking with total clarity. It just is. So when he says without any sexual desires, he's saying, or the translation is trying to say, that sexual desires no longer seize upon our minds in lieu of Buddha-ness. They will attain great transcendent powers, emit rays of light from their bodies, and fly freely through the air. Again, this Buddha land is this land. Remember the Viramanakirti Sutra. Go and watch that playlist if you like. It really nails this point, that the Buddha land is no other place. That whole fantasy of an afterlife to get to the Buddha land, complete trash. It's not Buddhism. The Buddha land is here and now. It exists in the constructs of your mind. When you meet Buddha, you meet the Buddha land. Everything is Buddha. The only thing that keeps us from seeing it is our craving and clinging to samsara. These beings will be firm in recollection, persevering, and wise. They will all be of golden hue and adorned with the 32 marks. The sentient beings in that land will all always eat two meals, one being the meal of delight in the Dharma, and the other the meal of pleasure in meditation. Or as I call it, active meditation, because we're not just sitting contemplating our breath and navel. We're actualizing, we're instantiating Buddha. Very powerful. There will be immeasurable, incalculable thousands of myriads of kodas, of nayutas, of bodhisattvas, who have attained great transcendent powers and the fourfold unobstructed wisdom. They will be able, skillfully, to lead and inspire sentient beings. But remember what I said about emitting light? How often have you heard me say that we radiate Buddha? We, by the very act of instantiating our own Buddha-ness, we radiate that clarity into our environment. Includes other sentient minds, right? It's bodhisattva work via our single-mindedness about Buddhahood. Our Buddha land can't be the Buddha land without being outside of us. Even though it all occurs in the mind, that influence, that energy, it's everywhere all the time, moment to moment to moment to moment. So that's the first step in world peace, Kozen Rufu, whatever you want to call it, propagation, bodhisattva work. It starts with you. And from you, it radiates. And to the degree that you can assist beyond that to guide others to Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, primarily, and then secondarily, assist them with their education, their understanding, their perception, their insights of the meaning. They have to do the work. You can't force feed people enlightenment, right? Enlightenment is enlightenment because it is a self-directed act, resolve. The number of shravakas there will be impossible to calculate. They will all perfect the six transcendent powers, the three sciences, and the eight liberations. And we can look up all those terms if you like. I'll leave that to you. Such will be the immeasurable benefits or merits of this Buddha's land being perfect in adornment. The kalpa will be called Ratnavabhasa, and his land will be called Suvisuddha. Is that important? He's applying labels for people to, their samsaric, cling to, identify. Makes it easy to recall. But at some point, none of that is important. This is skillful means. Such will be the immeasurable merits of this Buddha's land being perfect in adornment. The kalpa will be called, I read all of that. This Buddha's lifespan will last for immeasurable, incalculable kalpas, and the Dharma will abide for a very long time. Well, after the parinirvana of that Buddha, stupas of the seven treasures will be erected everywhere throughout the land. Stupas of the seven treasures will be erected throughout the land. That's what our altar is about. The butsudan, the mandala, the offerings, water, incense, light, greenery. It's a stupa. everywhere throughout the land. Propagation. Then the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate on the meaning of this further, spoke these verses. Where are we time-wise? Okay. And let's see how many verses we have here. Okay. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it'll make this video too long. But I will get started with it, and we'll restart in the next video. Okay? But, oh monks, listen carefully. The path that the heir of the Buddhas has practiced by learning skillful means cannot be conceived. Because the Bodhisattvas know that sentient beings long for inferior teachings, stuff that are easy to collect, to identify, and are afraid of great knowledge, they make themselves either Shravakas or Pratyekabuddhas. There's that limitation thing again, yeah? They inspire those sentient beings using innumerable skillful means, saying, we are Shravakas and still very far away from attaining the Buddha path. They save immeasurable sentient beings, all of whom they cause to attain perfection, and they even cause those who are lazy or who have lowly intentions gradually to become Buddhas. Oh, I'm just doing this so I can this. I'm just doing this so I can relax. I'm just doing this because I want a new car. I'm just doing this because I need love in my life. I'm just doing, right? How many versions of this have we heard? But even in that, as Nietzsche says, earthly desires are enlightenment, that motivation is enough to get you in front of your stupa and invoking your Buddha-ness. Oops. You don't realize how far you're going, even though your motivation is kind of lowly, lazy, right? But your actions, whether known to you or not, are much more profound when you chant Namo Myoho-ren Geikyo. It's okay that you don't understand yet, but you will. These beings secretly carry out the Bodhisattva practice while outwardly calling themselves Shravakas. As I said, they influence others more profoundly than they believe themselves to be influenced. Isn't that odd? This samsara is a funny place. Having little desire, their thoughts fixed on birth and death, the cycle, moment to moment to moment to moment, they in fact purify the Buddha lands. These bodhisattvas show sentient beings that they have the three poisons, and further, they reveal the mark of false views. In this way, my disciples save sentient beings through skillful means. Skillful means, as he's saying, sometimes simply because they themselves are the skillful means, showing their limitations. If I fully disclose that they have taken on various forms, the sentient beings hearing this would immediately become doubtful. What are you talking about? I'm instantiating Buddha. Come on, I'm just doing this because it feels good and I'm helping my friends. Okay. I'll just leave it there. Okay. This, oh, cramp. Sorry. Oh, man. Stop. This Purna, you see, now he brings that personage back. This Purna has now practiced the path under thousands of Kodas of Buddhas in the past, and he has propagated and protected the teachings of these Buddhas. So there's that reference again to this. What should we call it? Purna facility? This is just part of the propagation and development of our practice. It's fascinating. Once you understand how skillful means work and how to read these sutras, it becomes so clarifying, doesn't it? Anyway, for that and your participation, thank you. Thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you for your practice and your support. Some of you are changing your statuses or your level of donations on Patreon and PayPal. And deeply, deeply grateful for that. All of us are. You make it more attainable for me to continue working on new books and expand the website and do more development of this resource for the Sangha, for the world, for our confidence building, our resolve. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Yeah. So please, if you can support either that way or just liking and subscribing is important to propagate and grow this Sangha because of the algorithms. You know how the YouTube thing works. But those of you who can buy ebooks or print books, buy a, you know, a correct mandala, and take advantage of all the free stuff. There's a lot. All the all of these videos are also audio files, so the podcasts are all free. Tons of free information on threefoldrose.com. Use it. Use it for yourself. Use it for your edification. Use it to help you have discussion groups. However you want to propagate this practice, feel supported, feel conviction, instantiate Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Meet your Buddha, the Buddha. Thank you, Nichiren, for such diligent scholarship. Thank you for pursuing it. Take care of your health. Be kind to yourself. Yeah. And I will see you in the next one. Most assuredly. Thank you, Chloe. Okay. I really appreciate all the work that you do and your practice most of all. Stay safe. Bye for now.